Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings and welcome to the Saucer Pod and Dog Poet Transmitting, or is it the other way around? Tonight we are in the Saucer Pod, laying the sensory deprivation tank, and not an especially large tank, being as it is on the saucer pod. It is not an especially functional tank either, given that my knees stick up out of the water, since the tank is only 6 feet long and I am several inches larger than that. However, as long as the rest of me is sensory deprived, I guess that's all that counts, I suspect that my knees can take care of themselves. After all, my knees only factor in when I've been brought to them, and most of that kind of thing is automatic. We can hardly be said to be hovering this evening, since we are laying in a molasses-based thickwood on our back. Thickwood, of course, is a very dense liquid, and not unlike using the Dead Sea for a deprivation tank, except that would be much larger. What a difference a week makes when it's not like the weeks previous. I'm used to life being weird and not making sense, and I suspect that is how it is for a lot of people. Of course, it is easy for some of us to look at the lives of others and figure it out. The life that perplexes us the most is our own life, and that's how it should be. I suspect it's set up that way by the Guardians of Personal Mystery. That's a particular bureau within the much larger complex of the Tabernacle of the Invisible Hierarchy of Endless Time and Space. That's not the actual title, but I am constrained by the restrictions of initiation. There are some things you can talk about, or your capacity to talk about them is taken away, which, if you think about it, makes no sense if you're not supposed to talk about it in the first place. Of course, I wasn't being entirely clear or comprehensive. The implication is that I can't talk about these things here. It doesn't mean I can't talk about them anywhere. Things are pretty smooth at the moment. Of course, that can change. It can even change for the better, as even better follows mo better, and so on and so forth. How about this world, huh? It just keeps getting more and more whacked by the day. And the major players, meaning those people who tend to get their names and faces in the newspaper and on TV with a particular frequency, are behaving in an ever more wild and bizarre fashion because Mr. Apocalypse is making them do it. The same way we used to hear people say, "The devil made me do it." For some, Mr. Apocalypse is the very devil himself, and for others, he is entirely different. He is to each as each needs him to be, or as each has forced him to be. He's an archetype for all seasons, so to speak. Think of him as a Renaissance archetype. He's good to go wherever he is, but he shines especially bright in his own time zone of the apocalypse, which is why he's called Mr. Apocalypse. It's funny, isn't it? In other parts of the endless pathway through time and space, we always imagine the times we are in not to be different than they actually are. times come around and we find ourselves in them and we realize it was nothing like what we thought it was going to be. Of course, we are nothing like we think ourselves to be, and that is what all the changes in life are about, to bring the reality of what we are in front of our eyes. Life is self-discovery, and that's what the purpose of demonstration is all about. For some of us, it can be an easy and logical progression, not that it was always so, and for some of us, it can be hammer and tongs down the highway. The conditions are personalized to our needs. One would usually not think this is the case, especially when things aren't going the way we want them to, but if we knew how it was supposed to go, we wouldn't have to go through it in the first place. 90% of our suffering is caused by our unwillingness to come to terms with who we are. We want things we think we want, only to find we didn't want them, or worse. They brought us a great deal of sorrow. It came right into our lives, and we never suspected it was possible. This kind of a cycle repeats itself over and over because most of us never seem to learn, and we assume that our problem was the result of wanting the wrong thing. The next time it would be different, and it is. It's an entirely different kind of disappointment, and that is because there is only one thing we can want that will bring us any fulfillment. We don't think about fulfillment so much. We think about the more immediate satisfactions that are possible from the world of temporary satiation. Most of us just want to forget for a little while. Then there are those who want to forget entirely. And these days, a lot of them are accomplishing that. I get the feeling that Alzheimer's is a certain life expression relevant to this when it comes to those who have never been willing to forget at all, and so they wind up forgetting themselves. Sometimes they're in such exceptional denial about so much that eventually denial forces them out of the parameters of self-awareness. Look at the Teflon president who eventually became like Teflon and nothing would stick. It all just slipped through unidentified. I've wondered, never more than recently, what the heck I have to do to catch a break. And it begins to dawn on me that I'm trying to rework the highway and the surrounding landscape according to how I want it to look, instead of just focusing on moving through it because it is what it is for only so long, because it turns into something else. It's not the country you move through that counts. It's the way you move through it that counts. It's not the struggle per se, but the quality of one's struggling, and demonstrated by the manner in which they meet the tests and challenges that are designed for the purpose of shaping them into the shape that the master believes they are capable of being molded into. We are molded into the shape which best demonstrates the result of the master's hand and our degrees of submission and resistance to it. It is almost as if we were being slowly shaped into some kind of a musical instrument. The holes are placed where they are, and the stops are placed where they are, and every aspect and facet of the instrument is designed according to what sort of music the entirety of our being manifests at the conclusion of all our tests and trials. Whatever it is that is critical to the perfection of the celestial choir. The choir, the music of the spheres, the whole rubbing and polishing wonder of bodies, large and small, passing each other like ships in the night. It just wouldn't be the same without you, or without any of us. Many times, on our way, we surely must wonder why we continue. Why we continue to endure such hardships and strife. Could anything be worth so much pain and suffering? And where is it? Where are those sands of serenity that we have heard promised by so many mysterious characters who spoke with such assurance about the existence of this eternal oasis? Some spoke of it as an interior state, and some spoke of it as some kind of a Shambhala, and some have said Shambhala is within you. My feeling is that it is a combination of both. There has to be some kind of an environment in which to experience something, and no matter how you define it, and no matter how you go on and on about gate, gate, para gate, some don't gate, or how you insist it is beyond words and descriptions of any kind, surely it describes itself in the periods of its experience. Whatever the case with any of it, I am convinced you don't get there on your own. Certainly I shall not get there on my own, given as how I didn't get to where I am in this moment on my own. Maybe there are stronger and more intrepid hearts than my own, and they can say that they climbed that great mountain under their own steam. I will not presume to speak for others. All I can say is that I am utterly dependent on the one life, and I am more utterly dependent than I think I ever was. It seems that my tale is one of being ground to dust for the purpose of demonstration, for the purpose of demonstrating to me a particularly convincing fashion of, well, in a fashion that erases all doubt forever. I see a lot of people who appear to skate through life as if they had found the right course, and those of us who struggle are simply going in the wrong direction or don't know what we're doing. I suppose there's an argument for that. Obviously, some of us are bumbling fools. However, bumbling fools make it through at times, too. It is the intensity of one's love for the ineffable that determines whether one passes into the lands of light, not whether one is a fool, and not because we are all fools before the kingdom throne, and God have mercy on those who think otherwise. God have mercy on the self-important. God have mercy on the vain and the arrogant. When I think of the things one might be called upon to suffer for possessing any of these things, I shudder. It is then that I recognize the value of so much trial and suffering. If it brings about a true humility, it was all worth it. I assure you, my friends, that humility will save your soul and your ass, and it will bring you into friendship with the invisible ones that very little else will accomplish so effectively. This is one of the most cherished possessions of the true friends of God, and no friend of God would choose to be without it, and no friend of God would be without it. It is the nature of a friend of God to be humble because a friend of the ineffable realizes how much greater the ineffable is beyond all it is possible for them to imagine. Woe to those who consider themselves to be of any importance, because they will be shown just how important they are. There are many who think they are servants of humanity, and they aren't shy about taking certain risks or extending certain efforts when they calculate what it will get them. They are not nearly so service-oriented when the glow has gone off of their assumed nobility, or they see no profit they can realize beyond the knowledge that they have been of service. There are many dilettantes that dance around the periphery of the spiritual path. They talk a good game. It's important that they look good, and often enough the ineffable will let them go on in one delusion or another, will allow them to rise high in the public prominence, give them wide latitudes in their behavior as if to say, "You're special. You can do as you please." And they do. The ineffable will allow people to set themselves up as gurus or arrange for situations where they can accept such a position just to see what happens. Never doubt that the ineffable is in control at all times. Never doubt that the ineffable is watching and meditating upon the outcome with a fineness of deliberation and a subtlety of awareness that no human mind is capable of. The ineffable sees from the beginning to the end and at any and every point anywhere along the way. The ineffable knows it all. To the degree that we become able to rely on the ineffable, to that degree the ineffable will see fit to express itself through us. If you want to skate and you're fine with taking the easy way around, the ineffable will know this, and you may well be allowed to do this, but you will not find the deeper springs of inspiration or the internal fountain of undying love. Only those who risk it all gain it all. Be diligent, be strong, be unshakably focused. Don't give up. Faith, certitude, and determination. A man, if man he was, a man far greater than anything I have come anywhere near to being, repeated those terms over and over to me. He must have considered them important. Therefore, I consider them important, too, because I believe he would know. Everything we do and every thought and emotion that accompanies it is known to the silent witness that resides within us. Maybe we might fool most people, and even for some distance of time, but we will not fool the one within, and we will not fool the lords of destiny, and we will not fool the recording angel. In fact, there are any number of entities we will not fool, and some who laugh at us because they know what awaits. Oh yeah. Let us remember that no matter how much we may be troubled or tried or suffering in these times, that there's a very good reason for it to be happening, and that regardless of the temporary darkness of the temporary moment, beauty, truth, and indescribable light and lightness of being await us up ahead. The only real failure is a failure to try. You do not fail otherwise. You can fall short again and again, and you may make mistakes and errors in judgment, and at times you may go the wrong way. But so long as you do not give up and so long as you do not despair, you will get there. None of us of serious and sincere heart are meant to be left behind, and we will not be. Never doubt this. Darkness comes and goes, and so do tempests, storms, heartbreak, disappointment, illness, and disillusionment. They will come, and they will go, and so will you, and in some cases, millions of times. But it does not have to be that way. There are escape hatches, if you know where to look. There is help that can be achieved. There is wonder beyond wonder. There is joy unspeakable. There is a bliss so great it consumes the enjoyer utterly within the experience, and there are names for that, and every religion has one or more, and they all mean the same thing, seemingly expressed differently at the time. I am often reminded of that great Indian saint, Ramakrishna, who went into every one of the major religions and experienced enlightenment in every one of them, and said they are all the same. Now, he didn't choose to do this. He was chosen for it because he was such a singular soul. He also had every city, every power that there was that could be conferred on him, and he never used one of them once. At the end, he transferred them to his beloved disciple, Vivekananda, who was the author of that brilliant book, Raja Yoga, and many others. Never complain that you cannot find the light because others have, and if you cannot, then you are not trying hard enough or your sincerity is not what it should be. Work on it. I have constantly stressed that for those who are committed, you have only to go into a room for 3 days, cry out ceaselessly. The teacher will come. They might not come after those 3 days, but come he or she will. Never doubt it. Never doubt that. This is much like the broadcast that I did last week in which disappeared on me. The ineffable is like that. This happens. Never quit, never give up. And with that said, wow, we have come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, in between time, may you be guided by the light through the darkness of this material world into a higher order of being. And that said, well, all right, my friends. Allow me to close, as I usually do in the traditional way, with an acknowledgement to the founders of every legitimate faith, while we avoid those that bode no good for anyone. Hare Krishna! Om Amitabha! Much love, Lady Nature! Greetings, my friend, Lord Ganesh Ganapati! Inshallah! Hail, Lord Jesus Christ! Aloha and... Yeah!
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when it gets you in his eyes. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.